Encore. I could hear you loud and clear, my friend. How you doing?
Much better, much better. It's a very warm day.
Well, things happen.
They do, and we fixed it.
And they happen on Mondays, it always seems, you know?
It's always Monday. And that bums me out because that's our time together before Friday, and I don't want to wait the whole week long, so I have to remind myself sometimes, hey, this is my program. I can if you come on and say, yeah, I'll do it. But we didn't want everybody to miss out from a busy, busy weekend. Yesterday morning, so thanks for making the time for us this morning. And like we were just talking with Andrea Mobley from the MCCSE, sure, it might be summertime, but we still have local stuff going on left, right, and center. We've got some golf, the state or AMs going on. We've got the Monroe County Hall. That's going to be just in a couple weeks. Get me up to date on everything I don't want to miss.
Well, I tell you, we'll start with golf and just kind of recapping. We talked a little about Bruce Koepka at the age of 28 and only on his fourth year of being a pro, winning those two U.S. Opens. And Wilmington South capturing the all-sports trophies in Conference Indiana for the school year. So that was basically the gist of Monday. But today is a brand new spanking day, the 19th day of June on a Tuesday. And we talk golf. And Otter Creek's par 72 over in Columbus welcoming again USGA Wise, the Indiana State Am. And like Shinnecock Hills, a field of 156 started, including nine from the local qualifier. And they met tough conditions in the late spring heat. The course played almost 8 strokes over par with thick rough and slick greens. Only 11 found red numbers, 68 being the best score, 4 under. Purdue sophomore Joe Weiler, the former South Panther and Player of the Year, led local qualifiers in with a 1 over 73. That was good for T26 on the leaderboard as Joe enters round number 2 today. Weiler had a 70 2 weeks ago to win the medal out at the Bloomington Country Club to propel him into the state. And former South grad and the Weiler teammate under Dustin Carver a couple of years ago, Quinn Pizzo, had a plus 2. He was 74. That's good for T35. B&L's Ethan Stanley checked in with a 74. Seth Kostranek had 79. And his current South teammates, Drew Todd and Thomas Tierney and Ben Lewis, all are playing as well. Drew fired an 81, and Thomas had an 89. We'll get to Lewis in a second. He had an 80. We'll just throw that in right now. But Drew, who just finished his freshman year for Dustin Carver, was named the Herald Times Player of the Year, leading all Monroe County high school golfers, averaging just over 75 strokes per round. Elsewhere, Brian Muehlhaus, a tough start. He triple bogeyed the first hole and then had a lost ball early on in his round, en route to an 82. Brown County's Parker Van Ness shot an 80, and Jansen Purdue, playing out of Bloomington, had an 86. So four tied atop the leaderboard going into round two with those four under rounds posted yesterday as the tournament continues through Thursday over at the Columbus layout. By the way, FYI, local golfers, registration deadline for the City Golf Champ Flights now is tonight out at the Cascade Clubhouse, the Pro Shop. The fee is $25, so just a reminder there, the Bloomington tradition begins match play the weekend of July 7th and 8th. All quarterfinal rounds will be shot over the Quarry and Pine courses out on the north side layout. But again, if you want to play in any of the champ flights, tonight is the deadline, and again, the fee is $25. Well, Sal Romano gets the ball. The Reds open up a brief series. They're back home at the Great American Ballpark tonight, alongside Detroit. First pitch at 7:10. We'll be on the air with the pregame at 7 o'clock. Detroit's playing well. They're only three behind Cleveland in the AL Central to start the week. They've won 36 games this year. We'll talk more about the series, catch you up on late-night scores, and a few local notes and quotes coming ahead on our next report. I'm Joe Smith.
World Cup rolls on this morning. Joe, Group H will wrap up the group play, at least the first round of group play, as each team will play each other. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, that's the eighth one, so we'll have two matches from Group 8 this morning, and then Group A with the Russian host will play their first match of round number 2 of the group series coming up at 2 o'clock, so a busy day with the World Cup, which is great if you're a soccer fan. Every day is about three matches, starting at 8, 11, and 2 are your match times. Colombia and Japan will start things this morning. Big day yesterday. Sweden beat South Korea on a penalty kick in the 65th minute. Belgium, the third best side in the world, needed three goals to beat Panama, and they did, 3-0. And then England, Harry Kane's winner in extra time, 2-1 over Tunisia. So a busy day yesterday and a busier day today as the World Cup rolls on in Russia. Joe, two things about the World Cup that we've seen. No red cards yet. It's the
the
latest it's ever happened, and there's a reason for that. We have a video assistant referee this year where it's basically you can't get away with anything, so nobody's trying anything. So that's not a bad deal either. You know, when there's 50 cameras on you, there's that kind of part of the game is kind of out the door there. So that's good news, and there's been no other reports of any trouble or anything else. So it's been a very, very nice World Cup to get things started here.
Yeah, the crowds have kind of been tame. I heard Mexico got some problems with their crowds, with some of their slurs and what have you.
Yeah, that's been going on for generations, and FIFA is finally going to get around to maybe perhaps putting a stop to it. But you know how governmental bodies sometimes move.
Very slowly.
Very, very slowly. But, again, an exciting day today. Sal Romano pitched well his last time out, Joe. Now the next step is doing it two nights in a row, and that's what we're looking for tonight from Big Sally.
Yeah, we've all talked about, sustaining things, but it's a new week. You know, on one of our reports, we were talking about the Reds yesterday, and it was good to see that Billy Hamilton, and like so many other high-quality major leaguers, their Aprils and Mays just flat-out terrible, and now they're starting to warm to the occasion. And, Hamilton had three hits, three runs scored, and a couple of stolen bases, batting in the ninth spot in that win over Pittsburgh on Sunday. So hopefully this jump-starts him. I tell you what, you can't say enough about his defensive prowess out in center field. But hopefully that'll get him going in the rest of the Kings of the Ohio starting tonight against the Motown Nine.
That's exactly right, and we'll have coverage for you tonight through Friday, 7 o'clock, Detroit and the Cubbies and the Cubbies Reds, 4 o'clock on Saturday. And, Joe, you'll catch up with us at 8:45, pretty please.
Yes, I will. Sounds great. Got a lot to talk about still.
Yeah, and it'll be 80 degrees by the time you get back at that time. Stay cool, my friend.
Yeah. All righty. We'll talk to you then. See you.
Special edition Tuesday for you. Joe Smith is live on the telephone. Smitty, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine and dandy. So we had a red card after all. After we all talked about no red cards, we had a red card.
3 minutes in, denying a clear goal-scoring opportunity. Colombia has a player sent off. Japan steps up to the penalty spot. Shinji Kagawa. Kagawa finishes it. 1-0 Japan. Colombia is playing with 10 men. The Colombians equalized off a free kick just a couple of minutes ago before we went to the break there. The ball crossed the line. The goal line technology showed the hole of the ball crossed the hole of the line. So there is no hemming or hawing about bad refereeing or bad decisions. 1-1 at halftime. So the World Cup, a little drama that we haven't had yet. Little more to add. So 45 minutes ago, it's halftime, one apiece. And Colombia will have 10 men for the rest of the game. And Japan, this game is now turned differently because Colombia doesn't have to open up and try to equalize. So we'll see if Japan can break them down. Fun stuff, but you've got more fun stuff for us. Number one, thanks for joining us on a Tuesday. We've had a great busy program, and you're a cornerstone of it. Take us through what we need to know here on a hot spring day.
Well, the Reds back on the radio, back to the Great American Ballpark later tonight, 7 o'clock, as the Detroit Tigers come in. You know, we were talking Monday on one of our MLB reports that the Atlanta Braves, certainly the most improved team in all of Major League Baseball, leading the National League East and doing it and playing north of the border in Toronto to continue their winning ways. My golly, they've won as many on the road as they've won in Atlanta, but Detroit is another interesting piece. I mean, here's a team that was 38 games behind Cleveland when it was all said and done in the AL Central a year ago, and here they sit with 36 wins and are only three games out behind Cleveland to start the baseball week, and they come in hot. They've won five in a row, six of the last eight, including a weekend sweep of the White Sox in Chicago. Matt Boyd will face Sal Romano later tonight, and again, the first pitch goes at 7:10 here on the airwaves. The interesting thing is, here's Detroit. They can reach the 500 mark for the the first time since early April, and they're doing it without Miguel Cabrera, who is out for the year with that ruptured bicep tendon. But boy, they're doing it with their pitching. Not a lot of household names, but a bullpen, much the same. A lot of guys that are, well, stepping up to the plate, if you will, or towing the rubber in this case. They've allowed only one run in 17 and a third innings during this five-game winning streak going into activity tonight. The Reds, of course, won and salvaged one of three against Pittsburgh over the weekend, winning on Sunday. Sal Romano gets the ball. He won his last start, but he's lost four of his last five decisions, but it really hasn't been his fault. He's lowered his ERA down to 3.23, so we'll see how Sal pitches tonight at home against the Tigers. That being said, the Reds came into Pittsburgh with a three-game winning streak. They won four of their last six to start the baseball week. Eugenio Suarez and Scooter Gennett have been a couple of reasons why. Suarez has been hitting the long ball, but the stat that is not amazing because he could make contact, and that's his 52 RBI going into tonight's game, and that's among the major league leaders. And Gennett, he's been on fire since about the early part of May. He's lifted his average from 301 to 336 and definitely has to be on that all-star team when July rolls around. So that's a quick glance at what to expect here with the Tigers coming in against the Reds tonight. A couple of late-night scores, not in your morning dailies. The Mets scored 6 of the 9 to beat Colorado 12-2. Miami clipped San Francisco 5-4. Paul Goldschmidt, one of Woody's favorite rotisserie players, hit his 15th home run of the year. The guy, as bad a start as he got off to in April and May, is hitting 5-10 this month of July. And Arizona went on to beat the Angels last night 7-4. What else is going on? We told you earlier the State Am is going on over in Otter Creek, and they'll crown a champion on Thursday. And that course played tough yesterday as we had all nine of our local qualifiers compete. Joe Weiler, who's going to be a sophomore this fall at Purdue, is T26 with a 1 over 73, the best score of the bunch. I mentioned, too, that a Bloomington tradition, the annual City Golf Championships, will get started in the early part of July. The Champ Flight registration deadline is tonight out of the clubhouse, $25, and quarter and qualifying match play will start this weekend. Well, we're going to start publicizing a couple of things on the airwaves, namely Jeff Baldwin's Boys and Girls Club of Bloomington fundraiser, Man Up to Make a Difference event. We're going to talk with Jeff tomorrow on one of our reports, but we'll give you some quick facts and figures. Last year, they had over 300 that filed into the new Steve and Connie Ferguson Crestmont Club, and the event raised more than $70,000 for all three locations. So here we go again. It's a new date, a new starting, not a new starting time, but a new date, and that will be Tuesday night, July the 17th. So they've moved from winter. The event last year was held in winter. If you'll remember, Damon Bailey and Ken Casmary, Quinn Buckner was on hand. And what a lineup that Jeff has brought in for this one, including Tom Allen, Chris Lemonis, and Todd Yeagley. And they'll have a little panel discussion that's going to be moderated by Archie Miller assistant Ed Schilling, who certainly knows all about Indiana and the impact of youth growing up. So Ed's going to take care of that. So the facts and figures are this. The event starts at 6 on Tuesday, July 17th, at the Bloomington Girls and Boys Club over at the Crestmont Club. And bgcbloomington.org is the website. Jeff's expecting maybe a crowd to better what they had last December of 300, maybe as many as 340 or 350. The tickets are going fast. Seats are $75. Tables of 8 for $525. And you can sponsor a table for $1,000 for a great cause. So I wanted to make mention of that. And we'll talk with Jeff on several days leading up to the event on the 17th of July. Do want to make mention, too, that coming up On Friday the 13th at the Convention Center will be the Hall of Fame induction of a brand new class, and Sherry Dunbar-Cruzan will be joining us tomorrow as well on one of our reports on what it means to have grown up in Bloomington, to be enshrined in the local Hall of Fame. She recently was inducted into the College of Charleston Hall of Fame, and Sherry, of course, grew up in Ellisville and was an outstanding athlete at EHS. That'll be on one of our reports, and tickets are available. You can go to the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame .org website, and they have all the ticket information for you there. So that's a wrap of things on a Tuesday.
All right, Smitty, covered a lot of bases. There are great stuff to hear from Jeff, and obviously the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame right around the corner, and I really appreciate you popping in here on a Tuesday.
All righty, my friend. We'll talk to you, Friday, I guess.
I can't wait. Just a quick quick 3 days away. Awesome. Great stuff,
well,
as always, Joe.
Cool it down. I'll put you in charge of the weather.
I will. Come on with the rain. I know it's bad for Adam Wace and his crew, but we'll cool things off a little bit and help the taste of Bloomington as well. So we'll get all ready for the weekend Friday morning.